When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. We're live from 1 till 4 after 4 o'clock. You hear the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on demand on the app, and you can catch everything you miss.
Oh, good. I was about to say after 4 o'clock, good luck. No.
What?
You're right. We're on the app. We're on
right.
The
yeah, no more. No more moaning about having missed something.
That's right. I didn't even know it was called this. Typically, the way things are covered by the media today in the United States, it's sort of like two competing universe stories. It was called Crossfire Hurricane. Had you heard that term before, John? Crossfire Hurricane.
That was the FBI investigation into Trump and Russia.
I did not know that. I didn't know it had that name. I hate it when they name things anyway. Like the FBI names robbers, you know, it's the bandit robber, the bearded bandit robber.
It doesn't
robber.
Make any sense. They should have called it Russian hoax to destroy Trump's presidency.
This was an investigation that was open. This is when Trump was running against Hillary. Let's be clear about that first. That the Russians were a part of, they were colluding with the Trump campaign to make Trump the winner. That was the idea behind opening this investigation.
Were peeing on Trump's bed. In Russia.
Right. Roll so eventually Trump wins the election, becomes president. And in 2019, his attorney general, William Barr, appoints a guy, a former U.S. attorney in Connecticut, to head up an investigation into the FBI's investigation into collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. And remember that when the FBI finished its investigation, they found that there was no overt collusion between Trump campaign members and Russia. What they did find was sometimes people lied, they said, when they interviewed him. So they were prosecuting people for that. But it wasn't really that there was this outright collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia. So that's kind of why the Trump people thought, well, maybe we should look into this. Why did they launch this investigation? Was this to help Hillary? That kind of idea. That's what it was. So this man by the name of John Durham, special counsel, has finally issued his 300-page report. So I want to start by saying this. This is from 2016. So we're going back 7 years now in time for what was going on in that election between Hillary Clinton and Trump. But as John mentioned, the big bombshell that dropped late in the campaign was the dossier. Remember that?
Which CNN promoted heavily, and they made 4 years worth of programming out of. Most of the networks did. They gave themselves Pulitzer Prizes over this coverage. And what was found today is that there was not only no evidence of Russian Trump collusion, there was no evidence to even open an investigation.
That's the main thing. They should not have even done this. And they did this really quickly. They launched right into this.
This was entirely a political attack on Trump. That's all done, financed by the Clinton campaign and executed by the permanent bureaucracy of Washington, D.C., that thought Trump was a grave threat to their existence.
The FBI opened a raw, unanalyzed, and uncorroborated campaign based on intelligence that was uncooperated.
And it was fake intelligence that was planted. They created fake intelligence, used it as a pretext to conduct an investigation to try to derail Trump.
He said they used something called confirmation bias, meaning they ignored or rationalized away evidence that undercut the premise of a Trump-Russia conspiracy. That's what people can do. It's like, oh, of course not. That's not. Show me something that says they're working together.
Or they just wanted to try to take him down.
More importantly, doing this while the campaign was going on, whether or not they end up with any real case, it still muddles things.
Bad publicity. Right. Undermines him. While he's president, he's distracted. He's got to hire attorneys. He's got to deal with the news media chasing him. And they beat on him with this every day for years. And entire networks devoted much of their programming to this, like CNN and MSNBC, and made a lot of money off of it. The world is fake. The media world is fake. The political world is fake. This was a fake story that had zero basis in it, and it consumed major media coverage for years. And there was never anything to it.
Right.
My mother had as much to do with Russian collusion as Donald Trump did. It was just invented because they found him to be such a terrible threat to their self-interests in Washington. I don't know what, obviously he was an insane character, but what they thought his damage would do to them is a fascinating question. What is it were they protecting here from him? Why did they have to destroy him?
So some of the media today is downplaying this report.
Of course it is.
In the end, Durham indicted three people. Two of them were found not guilty. Another one did public service community time.
Okay.
So he's trying to say, he didn't get much out of this in terms of prosecutions. One was a former Clinton attorney in September of 2021.
Nobody did anything. So I'm looking for it on the LA Times website.
Oh, it's there. They picked up the story from the Associated Press. They actually sent out, it's prosecutor ends probe of FBI's Trump-Russia inquiry with harsh criticism, but no new charges. Oh, I got it as an email, so I don't know where it is in the
Okay.
Probably under politics or something. Yeah, it's under politics.
It's not on the front page.
Right. You have to look at the politics tab.
I have to go searching for it, right? So when I call up the LA Times, they don't have it as one of the major stories of the day.
No, they don't. But they did send out, breaking news email I got. So that's where I saw it.
Okay. But if you go to the LA Times to see what's going on today on the front page and you scroll down and look at the dozens of stories.
It's a top story on the Washington Post website. Durham report sharply criticizes FBI's probe of 2016 Trump campaign. Yeah. There's a bit of a surprise there. The Washington Post made it a story.
Progressive a-holes at the LA Times. That's not news to them.
And as I said, they picked up the Associated Press story. They didn't even have their own reporter.
They don't have their own reporters. I'm looking at what the LA...
Oh, and CNN put it at the top. Special counsel says FBI didn't have a reason to launch full Trump-Russia probe.
Yeah, they've been covering it on TV.
Oh, they have been, yeah.
Yeah, but not in the progressive Pravda Los Angeles Times, no. Because that's no longer a newspaper.
The one thing I've learned, and especially covering this type of politics over the years, and we've said this before, do something, right? In the moment, at the time that it's important to do it, because to catch up with the lies or to take it to court to challenge it will take so many years. By then, you've achieved the victory. Now, Hillary did not achieve the victory over Trump, but this was a big story back in 2016 when this first came out, that there was allegedly collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia.
But
here we are 7 years later, and some guy finally issues a report to say, right, the FBI probably shouldn't have even opened this
investigation. We have a country like they have, like the countries we always make fun of, in Central America or South America, where there's all kinds of corruption, political parties committing illegal acts to undermine each other, branches of law enforcement with the federal government, like the FBI, like the CIA, intentionally lying, intentionally misleading. You have the FBI doing a bogus mission to derail Trump. And then you had recently all those intelligence agents and their letter to try to discredit the Hunter Biden laptop as Russian disinformation. It's always about Russia. Russia is always the boogeyman that they use to either justify their investigations or justify their debunking statements. But we have that country. We don't have a country where you could trust anything coming out of any government official. And then they make fun of conspiracy theorists. Really? They may actually mock conspiracy theorists.
All right, we got more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, now we move to the border. Of course, that was the big story late last week with the expiration of Title 42, which happened Thursday night. There were lots of people at the border. And the story over the weekend was remarkably different. In fact, old Joe apparently was out there on his bicycle. Did you see him with the helmet on? No, he was biking around in Rehoboth, Delaware.
No, I don't watch.
He took a small victory lap. He said the border is much better than you expected, with a chuckle.
Yeah, he's lying.
The border is secure.
Mayorkas said that the Border Patrol agents have seen a 50% drop in the number of migrants crossing the border since Thursday.
No. Of course, there was a big buildup. But there was 10,000 a day. They'd never seen 10,000 a day.
Right. Now they're saying the numbers are down to like 4,000.
Because they all built up for the deadline. And now you can get in on the app. Their numbers are not to be trusted. It's called the CPB1 app. So yeah. Before you come, you fill out the form on the app. Then you cross and you show them, and they wave you in. So you're not an illegal alien anymore if you sign up on the app.
Is this like an application for asylum? What is the CB1, whatever you call it?
I go and find the details on it, but what it's done is it's greatly, what they wanted to do is reduce the chaos that would make television. They didn't want to have a stampede. So they spread the word, and the drug cartel is good at this, right?
It's called the CBP1 mobile application, a mobile application that serves as a single portal to a variety of Customs and Border Patrol services. You go through some questions.
Yeah. Yeah. And
I heard some people couldn't get through. They claimed they couldn't get on.
I'm sure it was overloaded.
Non-citizens located in central or northern Mexico seek to travel to the United States may use CBP1 to submit information in advance and schedule an appointment to present themselves.
They've had a couple of million people come over the border illegally. A couple of million. All right? And they're living here now. So he's so infuriating, but he knows he's infuriating. He doesn't care to the extent that he thinks. Biden doesn't care. Neither do his activist progressive aides who are behind this program. It's just about mucking it up. And it's very convenient for the news media to buy into it. Because the progressives want illegal aliens to come pouring in here, too. There's hardly a journalist out there who isn't fully on board with what the activists in the White House want. They're all the same person here on this issue.
Yes, they also tried this. They call this parole, that they're admitting some people into the United States on parole, which is another way of classifying them as legally entering the United States. Therefore, they're not in the official stats. Now, a federal judge in Florida ruled that no good. He put a TRO on it, but I understand they were still doing it.
All right, so I'm really interested to see where this goes, because we have an entire presidency, his whole administration, is about just blatantly lying, right? The Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, he just keeps saying the border is secure. The border is secure, right? And the congressmen, they start screaming at him and yelling, and they call him names. They threaten to impeach him. It doesn't matter. Can't knock him off his game. The border is secure. The border is secure. Biden says the same thing. You know, Kamala Harris says the same thing. The border is secure. Clearly, we have millions of people living here that didn't used to be here. And now they're dealing with consequences in New York and Chicago. And they're now New York and Chicago are kicking some of these migrants out, you know, to the suburbs of New York and Illinois.
Right.
You know, so this domino game is going on. People are noticing that there is disruption. You can't hide a couple billion people. They're going to be in your schools. You know, they're displacing. What did they displace? They're displacing homeless people, homeless vets. They're displacing weddings at a hotel in upstate New York. How much are people going to put up with? I mean, how much can they lie and get away with? How long does this go on?
See, I'm of the opinion that not a lot of the nuance of the country's border policies actually makes it to the migrants who show up. There is a story, and I kind of believe it, that because you have to simplify things when you pass things through the rumor mill to people who are trying to get to the United States. And the rumor became very simple. Get there before Title 42 gets lifted. And everyone knew that was going to be Thursday night. Mm-hmm. So that's why we had 11,000 people one day and 10,000 people the next day. And now that that day has passed, I would expect there might be less people coming. They did reclassify, as you just said, people. It's because they can fill out a little thing online and look like they're entering the country legally. That's another trick. But I think the reality, too, is what people in these countries hear. I mean, you've had guests on the show who keep saying the same thing. They're getting texts and calls from people who got into the United States who are saying, all right, I got in. It's easy.
Yeah.
You come too.
It is. It isn't. They're going to have a steady flow, and there's going to be increases. Steve Gregory was on before saying, according to his sources, there's another surge on the way. You know, the cartel is also manipulating the flow as well. They wanted to see what was going to happen. What's going to happen when you switch from one set of laws to a new set of laws? And is the Biden administration serious about enforcing the new set of laws? You wait a few days to see. What you have here is the progressive liars in the media trying to jump on a moment and saying, aha, case closed, it's settled. But that's what they do because they lie. You just have to train yourself that just because it's coming out of a network news broadcast or it's in the newspaper you've read every day of your life, it's not true.
It's not true.
It was proven today. I mean, I wish somebody would count. I don't know if there's a way to count. How many tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Russian Trump collusion articles were written over 4 years? And, you know, again, the news came out today that it was an entirely bogus investigation based on absolutely zero evidence, according to a special counsel that was appointed by the attorney general. There's nothing. There was never anything to the story. How many hours of programming did people watch? How many news stories did you read? It's the same thing here. Don't read news stories and watch news stories and believe when they tell you, oh, the border crisis is over. Well, first of all, even on a good day, you're still getting, you know, 5,000 people coming over
right.
the border.
You're right, because it wasn't 10,000 or 11,000, but there's still 5,000. That's suddenly not important, right? That's the trick that they're trying to pull here by making you think, because again, last time they covered it like this is when all the Haitians were under that bridge in Texas. Remember that a couple of years
right,
ago?
Yeah.
Most of the media doesn't cover this story because, quite frankly, it doesn't directly affect many Americans.
5,000 a day is 35,000 a week. That's 140,000 a month. That's, what, 1.5 million a year?
Yeah, but we had like 2 million the year before.
Okay. Well, so even at the reduced rate, even, nothing to see here. Look at that. Much better than expected. Boy, was it wildly exaggerated. No, no. We're at a rate where 1.5 million are coming over in a year. Hello? It is propaganda. It's meant to confuse you, to make you get sick of hearing about it, make your brain kind of start fluttering from all the numbers, trying to do the math, trying to understand all the different jargon they have and the CBP app and the amnesty and the Title 8 and the Title 42. I mean, how much is the average person going to care about all this?
All right, when we come back, of course, a big story in San Francisco in early April was the stabbing death of a tech guy by the name of Bob Lee, the Cash App. Anyway, the story took a turn when we discovered he was actually stabbed to death by someone that he knew, who may have been very angry that Bob Lee was hanging out with the man's sister. Now we apparently know a lot more. The Wall Street Journal has run a story. Before his killing, the tech executive Bob Lee led an underground life of sex and drugs. We'll get into it coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're live on the air from 1 until 4 after 4 o'clock. Join the hordes, the throngs, the mobs that listen to the iHeart app for the John and Ken podcast, John and Ken on Demand, after 4 o'clock. And you'll hear everything you missed today.
Hordes and throngs and mobs.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. We covered this story quite a bit after it happened in April. A tech executive by the name of Bob Lee was found with horrible stab wounds on the streets of San Francisco. He did not survive. Most people thought, well, it's a risky place to be. What we find in the weeks since the arrest of a man who they say committed this murder was that drugs really impacting the homeless population, and drugs can also impact the wealthier tech population. Because apparently they called it a lifestyle. The upper reaches of Bay Area society are fueled by cocaine and designer drugs and also lots of sex. It appears to be that's what Bob Lee was into. The Wall Street Journal did quite a story today, giving us a lot more details about what may have befallen Bob Lee leading up to when he was stabbed to death, because he was stabbed to death by the brother of a woman, and I don't think I've ever seen this term before. Her name is Kazar Momeni. He was casually sleeping with. Have you ever heard that, John? Casually sleeping with?
Yeah, I have.
I've never heard that before. I've heard of casual sex, I guess. It's kind of
That's what they meant.
Friends with benefits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you're not romantically involved, but you enjoy sex together.
And... Yeah, I just never heard it put that way. I understand all the other terms. Yeah. And I knew that's what it meant. It was just weird to see it in print to casually sleeping with.
Eric
it looks
jumped
like...
right on that friends with benefits line there, huh?
It turns out that, and again, the man that's been arrested for the murders is the brother. The brother's name is Nima Momeni. It also turns out that at one point, Bob Lee was also dating a woman that Momeni was with. Mm-hmm. But this was his sister. And apparently, Momeni, by the way, was also known to use drugs. But he was supposedly not part of the elite crowd. He ran an IT consulting firm out of his own live-in work loft in Emeryville. So public records paint a picture of a struggling business. He was aloof, introverted, and his sister was running with a faster crowd. Her husband was a prominent plastic surgeon.
So Momeni was the loser guy in the group? He didn't make that much money?
Yes, he was not on the inside in the elite where Bob Lee and his sister were hanging out.
Yeah, so Bob Lee. So Momeni didn't get the women that Bob Lee did because he wasn't worth as much money. And
so he may have been very angry and jealous because not only did he hang out with his sister, but he was apparently with a woman that Momeni had once dated too. Yeah. So there was probably a lot of animosity that Momeni had towards Bob Lee.
Lee was higher up the food chain.
That's
bigger
kind of the way it appears to be.
Yeah, that's what it is with guys and women. Women will climb and sleep with the richest guy, most charismatic guy, and most accomplished guy. And, you know, if you don't have those things going for you, you got to date a little lower down the ladder.
So Lee was divorced, was separated from his wife, supposedly had a good relationship with her. But some people who were interviewed in this story, one guy called him the dumbest smart person I knew.
Well,
meaning that obviously when it came to tech matters and his business matters, he was pretty sharp, but his personal life was kind of about drugs and sex.
Because guys who have this specific intelligence, like a tech intelligence, they find the rest of life boring.
Boring.
Right. And so,
but some are actual nerds and live with them. But you're right. There's another class that find a lot of things boring and they're looking for a lift.
And you know, you got to do something with your life beyond going to work and doing like the tech nerd stuff. So you got all this money. You trade it in for drugs and women. I mean, that's what a lot of guys would do if they had Bob Lee's money. If they had Bob Lee's success and were in that social circle, they would do exactly what he does.
He took ecstasy, ketamine, cocaine, attended all-night raves all around the world. And there was one club he went to called Club Audio in San Francisco. The club offered, I just love this part of this story, to admit people for only $5 instead of $20 if you come in with no pants. Bob said, sure.
My pants are coming off anyway.
His friend Harper Reed, the chief executive of General Galactic Corporation, did the same thing. He went pantless to save $15.
That's.
I guess it's more the goof of it. Come in pantless.
No, because you're more accessible to the women there.
I guess if you've got good legs and you're showing it off.
I don't think it's the legs.
During the pandemic, the San Francisco party scene largely shut down. Mr. Lee spent months traveling around L.A. and Mexico.
You know what ketamine is?
It's a horse.
It's an anesthetic.
And it gives like a horse tranquilizer.
And it gives you xylazine.
Yeah, but ketamine I've heard of before. I'm going to look it up because
it might be a tranquilizer for horses.
It
too.
Is. Yeah, that's what I was taught in school.
Yeah, ketamine's been around a long time.
So these horse drugs are really big between the xylazine and the ketamine.
Well, they're not meant for humans.
So you it gives you a disassociative hallucination.
Hmm.
You're detached from your pain and environment. And you feel calm, relaxed, immobile, no pain, and amnesia. No memory of the events while under the influence. So it's used as a sexual assault drug. You give it to a woman and she's not going to remember what you did to her.
Yeah, I've seen people on ketamine before. like out at bar hopping and stuff.
What? How do they act?
They're just zombies.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
That's when you have too much money. That's what you look for.
Yeah, I thought of it more as a de-stressor, but it sounds like you are just really just zonked.
I'd never heard of it until recently, but.
So Ms. Momeni and her older brother, Nima, they were born in Iran. They moved to the U.S. with their mother, a dental assistant, and settled in the Bay Area. These two were very close. She frequently goes by the name of Tina at clubs and parties. And
it's good to have a pseudonym when you're doing this stuff.
Yeah, it appears that Mr. Momeni got a little bit worked up over Bob Lee doing drugs and sex parties with his sister, who, again, was a married woman. So
yeah, but her husband probably knew what was going on, too. Maybe he was part of the scene.
Could be.
Often these couples are swingers, and they enjoy the party scene and trading sex partners and doing the drugs.
All right. So again, it looks like he planned this out. I mean, he got himself a knife he brought with him that night, and he left the an apartment with Bob Lee to take him back to his hotel, and they didn't get there because he stabbed him.
Yeah, loser guy, jealous of someone more successful.
Yeah, that's often the case. And if you're going to hang out with the loser guy's sister, that'll really fuel him up even more.
That's too much for him.
All right, more coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640, live everywhere, iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Well, eventually a lot of people in public life, particularly in politics, always have this day coming. Rudy Giuliani is 78 years old. We have a brand new lawsuit filed in New York City by a former associate. Her name is Noelle Dunphy. Said she began working for Giuliani in 2019 as his director of business development. Her lawsuit says that Giuliani began abusing her almost immediately after she started working for him. He made sexual demands. He went on alcohol-drenched rants that included sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks, many of which she says have been recorded. Well, that'll be interesting, won't it?
Great.
He should make this lawsuit go away. But, I mean, he pretty much... What does he do now? Does he still consult anybody or just appear on TV shows? Or
I don't know. You know, he was pushing that election nonsense.
I know, but that's kind of over with. Right?
But that was his main job, it seemed.
Was he paid to do that, do you think?
By Trump? He was working for Trump as one of his attorneys.
Oh, he was? Okay.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure several of the appearances that I saw, he was completely blasted. He seemed really drunk on camera.
That's kind of the conclusion. I never forgot. Remember when his hair dye was running down his face because he was sweating? That was like the worst ever I'd seen him. That was over the election, too.
I got a list about some of the complaints. It says he drank morning, noon, and night. Frequently intoxicated. Behavior always unpredictable. Now, get this one. Boy, this is going to be more than you want to know. He took Viagra constantly and would expose himself and then tell Noelle Dunphy that he couldn't do any work until you take care of this.
Yeah, according to her lawsuit, just a week into her employment, Giuliani had her flown to New York on a chartered plane, said you're going to stay in a guest suite in my Upper East Side apartment. The two drank, and at one point, Giuliani pulled her head on top of his member.
No.
Without asking or any consent, right, holding her by the hair.
How long did she have this job?
That's a good question.
Don't you run out day one?
She started.
Don't you run out day one?
Yeah, this is her first week of employment, you would think.
He made clear that...
Well, it says here that he was going to pay her $1 million a year salary, but it came with a catch. Because he was in the midst of an acrimonious divorce, he told her her pay would have to be deferred. Oh, great. And her employment kept secret until the divorce was done. Why? He claimed that his crazy ex-wife and her lawyers were watching his cash flow and that his ex-wife would attack and retaliate against any female employee that Giuliani hired. Right, that's the story she says she got from him.
All right, get this one.
Uh-oh.
Made comments about the bodies of prominent women like Hillary Clinton and Elizabeth Warren, imagining them in sexual scenarios.
Giuliani did that?
Giuliani, yeah.
Wait, Clinton and who else?
Elizabeth Warren.
Okay, well, he's 78, so... she says that he demanded she work naked or in a bikini, or my favorite, short shorts with an American flag on them. He purchased them for her.
Okay. All right. Aren't you out of there in 20 minutes?
Yes, you should be out of there in 20 minutes.
Wait
a minute. There's more. When they were apart, he would work remotely via video conference. And during those conferences, he would always ask her to remove her clothes on camera. He often called from his bed, visibly touching himself under a white sheet. Wasn't that a claim he was doing that in some other picture?
Well, in a movie.
Oh, that's right. The Borat movie.
Yeah. The second Borat movie. He had this woman who's supposedly a Polish reporter, and he lured her up into the hotel room. And as soon as she went into the room, he laid back on his back and started unzipping his pants.
It looked like he was, putting his hand down there.
Yeah. So
he said later he was adjusting himself.
No, I saw that, and that was proof of what he was up to. And he's showing up on TV drunk, and his hair dye's running down his face. He completely lost his mind.
He was a good damn mayor, but
he was, but not. I really think he had some
kind
of
dementia.
Aggressive dementia. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember you said that one day. It's got to be some form of dementia.
The personality change, at least his ability to control his demons, disappeared, which happens with dementia.
It does. You know, no inhibitions. The filters are gone.
Saw it in a couple of family members. They started making sexual comments and sexual requests that they never did in their normal life.
Somebody asked you to be in a bikini or flag shorts?
That I do for $1 million. Sure.
You'd work in nothing but flag shorts.
Which flag do you want? I'll wear anybody's flag.
The Polish flag, right?
Conway's here.
Hey now. Well, we got something here that's interesting. Are you legally allowed to collect rainwater in California?
You'd think, right?
Yeah, but now there's going to be a problem with that. So, the average age of a car in the United States, people are keeping it 12 and a half years now. So I don't feel as bad. My car is 16 years old.
Is it really?
Yeah, I don't feel as bad.
How many miles you got on it?
129,000 miles on it.
Wow, because
I live a mile from work.
You got your money.
I thought you rode a horse just because you're into the track.
I like to ride a horse.
What model is it?
It's a 2007 Lincoln Navigator. Gets 8 miles to the gallon.
That's a big SUV, yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. I mean, literally, it's a gallon of gas to go to and from work.
What's the point? No, you're right. What's the point if you're getting something much more updated? You don't drive much, right?
That's right. And, you know, people say, well, it's a gas guzzler. Well, guess what? I moved a mile away from work, so I get to guzzle gas. Right.
Plus, rumor is you have a chauffeur anyway.
Well, not always.
I mean, your big winnings.
Mark doesn't drive you around?
No. Belial once in a while gives me a ride home.
Belial.
But that's it's a little scary on the way home. It's a Mr. Magoo thing.
Oh, I see.
Sidewalks. Roadhog! That kind of thing.
That's classic.
But remember that? I don't think you could do that cartoon nowadays.
Mr. Magoo?
Did he say things that are now inappropriate?
No, a vision-impaired driver yelling at everybody. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, honk, honk.
Yeah. Roadhog! I don't know if you can make fun. They're making fun of the blind.
Last week you were doing gazoo impressions.
That's right,
Magoo impressions.
That's Harvey Korman. But it's a guy who, is always driving on the wrong side of the street, crashing into everybody.
One of my favorite characters.
Yeah. Oh, we used to call John Magoo.
Yeah.
Because he barely pays attention to when he drives. But somehow it all works out.
That's great. You notice Magoo never got hurt.
He never was.
No, remember the crane gets him, he lands on the hook of the crane and lifts him up over the car. It's lifted up over the,
But he's also able to drive up buildings, which is odd.
That's right. So. Taking this so literally.
That's right. All right, very good.
Dog.
3 hours of Mr. Magoo reference.
Oh, that'd be great.
Tim was confused as a kid how that happened.
That's right.
Jim Backus, right? Jim Backus,
the
voice?
Yeah, you're right. Exactly, right, yeah.
All right, Crozier's got the news.
All right.
Live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast.
Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.